Let's turn in the scriptures now to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We heard part of Colossians 2 last Lord's Day as we began looking at the fourth commandment. And now we're going to hear another part of Colossians 2 right after those verses we heard last Lord's Day. In Colossians 2, verses 18 through 23. Colossians 2, verses 18 through 23. Colossians 2, verses 18 through 23. Before we read God's Word, let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for Your Word. And we confess our sin that so often we read Your Word and we don't consider it in the depths of it. We often just look very surface level and look only to ourselves and what specifically you are communicating to us. And Father, we ask that You would help us now to see the more fuller sense of Your Word. As we read it today, we know that You are not a simple God. You are an infinite God, an eternal. And so, Father, grant us Your Word today. We ask for knowledge, understanding, and wisdom to apply these words to our lives and for the sake of the church. We ask that Your will would be done and we would hear You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Colossians 2. Verse 18, these are God's words. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Those are God's words. Again, last Lord's Day we began looking at holy days. Holy days, those made by man. And now we go to the Lord's Day and begin considering how to keep the Lord's Day holy, or how to sanctify the Lord's Day. And John is, remember in Revelation, John is out there on the island of Patmos, exiled in Revelation 1, and he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And if it were 2022 when that was written, one might think and consider and come to the conclusion that John was on Patmos on some feast day or some special day of the year, like Christmas or Easter or something like that. But nope, those days didn't exist then. That's what we heard last Lord's Day. He clearly means the Christian Sabbath, like the first day of every week that we celebrate the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's when the church in Acts 20 verse 7 and 1 Corinthians 16, that's when they gathered on the first day of the week after the resurrection of Christ. And so do we, remembering not only the gospel but especially the resurrection of Christ for our sakes. And so given the context that this is after the resurrection of Christ, the day the Lord gave His people and man throughout the world, the Lord gave a day of rest. He gave that to not just us in the church, He gave that to every single created human being, man and woman, child, to rest in Him. Friends, you look at history, not only in the Bible, biblical history, but to the modern day from that time. It is in the human heart to move towards and love idols. We heard that last Lord's Day. John Calvin says, man's heart is an idol-making factory, right? We constantly make idols. Well, the same, we love ceremonies. We love ceremonies. According to nature, we love it. According to our sin nature, we love it. Some of us like to watch, for instance, like the British royal kind of ceremonies, right? They're going to have a coronation soon. In the next year of King Charles III, right? We love to watch those kind of things sometimes. Or even in the church, we come to the point of exalting the Lord's Supper as a ceremony. Over the preaching of the Word, we exalt the Lord's Supper over the preached Word. And the Papists and the Federal Visionists, as some of you know about, do. That's what they do, right? They exalt the Supper over the preaching of the Word. And that's attractive to a lot of people because there's some sort of ceremony to it that they make into it, right? And we place ourselves in prominence, our ceremonies, before then God's very Word and law because we love ceremonies so much. Now, most will begin to plead for their ceremonies as things indifferent. We don't have to. You don't have to celebrate these ceremonies. You don't have to celebrate these days that we're celebrating, right? It could not be done. It could be done. It doesn't matter. We're going to celebrate it, right? That's what people will say. But when it actually enters in and you're taking part in it, it's in the church now, those ceremonies move over, you know, just after a few years, those ceremonies move from that being indifferent. You don't have to do it, but we're going to do it here in our church, but we're not going to do it over here in this church over here. Those indifferent things now become ordinances themselves, as if the Lord commanded them. Right? And people cry out if they're disrupted in any way and plead for them as things necessary to worship. This is what happened in the church concerning what we've already studied before in Chronicles, musical instruments. Right? And remember that much of church history, if you go from Scripture, Christ dying on the cross, unto around the 1700s, 1800s, there are no musical instruments in the church. Well, very few. They began coming in around like 600 AD in the Roman Catholic, some Roman Catholic churches, right? And but then there's this huge increase in them when we come to the 1700s and 1800s. And so remember, even today, some Reformed will say, well, the musical instruments in worship are indifferent. We don't have to have them. We can have them. Don't have to have them. And yet, you take them away, and people will cry out in agony or anger, right? Because to them they have been made in their hearts necessary ordinances when all together they must be done away with by us because those instruments are fulfilled in Christ. They were part of the Old Testament temple worship, right? As we've learned before, by His final sacrifice they are fulfilled and done away with. Now, friends, why is this subject so important? Not musical instruments, that is the Lord's Day though. Not only the celebration of days, but what we do on the Lord's Day, what we do in worship. Why is it so important? It's for something that Americans love. Freedom. Although Americans do not know the right definition of freedom. Freedom is only found in Christ Jesus. Freedom or liberty of conscience. Some of you have heard that phrase before, liberty of conscience or freedom of conscience. And you see, there is nothing that this session, that is the elders, there is nothing that the elders here can do if we're being faithful. Under the authority of Jesus Christ and His Word, there's nothing that the elders here can do in leading worship that will bind your conscience to do something that is not from God's Word. We cannot do that. If it's not in God's Word, if He doesn't command it, then we are binding you in worship, in your hearts. and we are destroying your freedom of conscience. And so, there's also the times when people in the church, right? Not the elders, but the people in the church come and they cry out, and they force, sometimes because leaders, the elders are weak, they force everyone else to do something not found in God's Word. That binds the conscience. In other words, man or man ceremonies and traditions cannot bind the conscience. We confess that the Lord alone, it's in our confession, we confess that the Lord alone is Lord of the conscience. Not your elders, not man, but the Lord alone. He alone can bind your conscience because He is the Lord, right? He will guide, He will direct, He will have His worship to be what it is supposed to be because it's His holy worship. And you must, as His subjects and creatures, fall into line with the Lord's worship and how He wants it to be. We have to fall into line like a soldier falls into line at the call and command of the general, right? Now, what if we gathered here today and the elders called for this or allowed someone to get up here and start dancing in front of us or waving a flag as part of worship? For many of you, I hope all of you, that would bind your conscience in some way. You would hopefully say, this is not found in God's Word to do in worship, dancing, or waving a flag, right? That would bind your conscience, hopefully. You would hopefully struggle with that. You'd feel really uncomfortable with that. You might even want to leave if that happened, right? Some of you might walk out. Some of you may enjoy it, sadly. But that is binding consciences with man's designs and man's traditions and man's ceremonies. Only what the Lord commands. Only the Lord can bind your consciences. The same thing with musical instruments, right? The same if we sing man-made songs, not the Psalms. And the same, friends, if we take the Lord's Day, the only day the Lord has given to His church to celebrate other days. We take those, the Lord's days that He's given us, and we kind of then also add to it other days, special days in the church, right? We came up with Grandview Holy Day last Lord's Day. We made that up. It's a made up day, but for an illustration, if we made you celebrate that day, Grandview Holy Day, if we made you celebrate that, that would bind your conscience, wouldn't it? Well, we force you to do that if we bring it into the church because you have to do nothing but worship, right? You have to participate or you're walking out. Right? We don't want to do that, of course. But that would bind your conscience. And so this, friends, this doctrine of the liberty of conscience or freedom of conscience, in church history, this was at the very foundation of the Reformation. Now, many of you think, well, the Reformation has to do with justification, right? Absolutely it does. It has to do with the five solas, right? And those are a major part of the foundation of the Reformation, or why the Reformation happened, in returning to Scripture alone. But liberty of conscience is right there with it. Liberty of conscience was right at the very core of the Reformation. How can we worship the Lord? Because the Roman Catholics at the time were worshiping the Lord, how? With their own man-made ceremonies and things not found in the Word of God. And so all those things bound the consciences of the worshiper. Now what would it be if the church used the man-made church calendar? Some of you have heard of the church calendar, of what Roman Catholics, Anglicans, Methodists, Lutherans, they make use of the church calendar in some ways, either the whole man-made church calendar that has been made, or in part. The calendar that, if we used it, would force us to focus on certain things during certain times of the year. We'd need to have a particular scripture reading on certain Lord's days. We'd have to, whatever the church calendar said, we'd have to read that scripture passage, and we'd have to read this other scripture passage, and the sermon is going to be on this passage. That's the church calendar. It forces the church, if you're following it, it forces the church to obey it and do what it calls to do, whether in part or as a whole. Right? There's some people, some churches that participate in part of the church calendar and some in the whole thing. This would bind your conscience. Not only all of us here, it would bind your conscience, our conscience, but also bind the minister. It bind the minister and what he had to prepare, what he had to preach on, what topics he was preaching on. Because that's what some men decided sometime, in some place, that must happen. That's the church calendar. So having to preach on Christ's birth, on what we heard last Lord's Day, on what is forbidden from being celebrated in the church on Christ Mass, right? Or you have to preach on the resurrection of Christ on that day when an idol called Easter comes about, because that's part of the church calendar. You have to preach on the resurrection. And here are some passages that you have to read also that have to do with the resurrection. But that binds the conscience. That would bind my conscience. But we are to worship the Lord according to His commandment alone. That last Lord's Day, again, we are to worship on His day. All other days made for a special religious observance are forms of idolatry. He's given us one holy day. He has set apart one holy day. The first day of the week, the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day, each week. And we looked at how every time we introduce new days, special days, Christ Mass, Easter, Lent, whatever it might be, it actually diminishes the Lord's Day. It actually takes away from the holiness of God's day that He made for us, for our sakes, not to make us slaves. All right, to rest in Him with unbound consciences according to His Word. He doesn't say in His Word, on this Lord's Day you must preach on X, and then next Lord's Day you have to preach on Y. You know what would happen if we did that? If we follow the church calendar, and what happens today when those churches follow the church calendar? There's certain things that are not going to be preached on. There are certain scriptures that will never be read. That's what the church calendar gives you. And you think about that. That is the devil's delight. He would love nothing more than for the church not to hear the entirety of the scriptures. He would love the Antichrist's love of the church calendar. Antichrist's love to keep God's people from hearing the entirety of God's Word. Consider then Acts 4 verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. And then the next chapter, remember what happened in chapter 5. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And you know what? Besides the Lord's Day, who are those who are always pushing for adding special days for us to observe? It's man, not God. Who is pushing that certain things be read and preached besides generally the gospel on the Lord's Day? It's man, not God. Where do you find in the scriptures you need to preach on this certain thing? Or you need to read this passage in Scripture? You don't read that. You don't find that. We go back a few weeks ago, the seventh commandment, the sin of self-pleasure, the sin of pornography, homosexuality. If we followed what man wanted, we would, even in, if we followed what man wanted generally, we would never have preached on those topics, right? We've never heard those things from the seventh commandment in the Scriptures. If we followed the church calendar, guess what? We would never hear those things. We would never heard passages on that. If we did, it's just a scripture reading and not the sermon topic or the sermon passage to preach on. That's exactly, again, what the great enemy wants. For those sins not to be rebuked. Right? And don't think it's a coincidence that the Antichrist, who's the Pope of Rome, and his men engage in homosexuality all the time. and never speak about it from the Scriptures because of the church calendar. There is a design in it. But men love ceremonies and church calendars and things we can follow, right? Man created things. And as they grow more attached to them, they will then come back to the Scriptures, as even the devil does in Genesis 3. And he will appeal to you from the truth of God's Word. The devil will appeal from you to you from God's Word. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? There's a lot of truth in what he's talking about, right? Because the Lord did command that Adam and Eve not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so it kind of sounds right. And this is what your elders must consider then as they lead you under the authority of Christ alone. To do nothing that would bind your conscience except it be the Lord binding you from His Word. That it would not be true of us in Matthew 15. But in vain they do worship me, teaching the doctrines, the commandments of men. Your elders must lead you in this way, as the Lord through Paul taught us. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And the elders and all of us need to be the servants of Christ, not men. There are people, not just papists, but Protestants, who will celebrate the Passover, right? In part or in whole. The problem, though, if we are consistent with God's Word, that we cannot pick and choose which parts we will observe and which ones we will not observe. If we are to observe any of the Passover, then we have to observe all of the Passover. Right? If we are to observe part of the Passover, we have to observe all of it. And yet, this command is fulfilled in Christ. The Passover command is fulfilled in Christ and done away with in accordance with the book of Hebrews even. Right? And this is what the Lord says. Colossians 2, that's our passage. He says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. There are many ceremonies that were even in the early church without obligation. But here is Paul in Colossians 2. He's condemning not only the man-made ordinances concerning ceremonies, but the subjection and obedience to such man-made ordinances that take from us the liberty, the freedom of practice in that which is indifferent. And that means this. And Paul is condemning those things man-made that obligate us to do something in worship. But also Paul is condemning those man-made things that are indifferent, but are then forced upon the congregation to worship. In worship, right? Forcing things indifferent, or binding things indifferent upon the people, is condemned. If we are changing what we preach on because the church calendar tells us to, then that destroys liberty of conscience and binds the heart against God. If we are changing what we preach on because the old ceremonial Passover was celebrated on a particular day, a day now in Christ, which He has abrogated by His final sacrifice, that the Passover is no more celebrated, since it is now dead and buried, then to change what we preach because of that destroys freedom of conscience. That it is this liberty, this freedom that Christ has granted us in the gospel. In the gospel in which we were once slaves before. Right? 1 Corinthians 7. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Slaves to our ways. Slaves to the ways and decrees of man. Slaves to ordinances. Slaves of man's traditions. And Jesus has come in the gospel, humiliated to the point of death, sacrificing Himself so that we who were slaves could be set free unto life and service to Him. He says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't be entangled. Don't go back to slavery. Therefore, when we add to us days by man, or special, as special over against the Lord's Day, or bring into the Lord's Day those ceremonies or those requirements of the church calendar or the traditions of men that are not commanded by our God in Christ, these things as we grow in our faith, we will be more and grow more and more in conflict with our souls. There'll be more conflict with our souls. We'll grieve our souls. We'll hurt our souls as we are being pushed and prodded back to slavery by them and away from freedom in Christ. Consider how blasphemous that would be to take our free consciences, our souls, our free souls set free by Jesus Christ and His final sacrifice on the cross, His death on the cross, to then sell ourselves back into slavery. How great a blasphemy that is to our Lord. How great of shame, like Hebrews 6 says, how great of shame we would bring upon the cross of Christ. Upon the Redeemer, if He's bought us out of slavery to then go back to slavery. Will you take that yoke? We heard last Lord's Day, the yoke of Christ is easy. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. Are you going to take the yoke which is easy from Christ and toss it aside for the yoke of spiritual slavery again? You must not. For in it you would blaspheme the Lord and Christ, bringing His name to open shame. And you will kill yourself in your soul. Now Paul condemns, based on liberty of conscience, the observing of days made special by man, since they had been abrogated by Christ. And he calls the days bondage, right? He's talking about ceremonial days, the feast days, right? He's talking about those, and he calls it, don't go back to those things, because that would actually make you slaves to Christ, slaves, not free in Christ. Galatians 4, right? We heard similarly in Colossians 2 last Lord's Day, ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. He calls their observation of the days, the ceremonial days, as especially bondage. Bondage. And he goes on, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And he goes on then to speak how Jesus has redeemed us from such things, these observances of days. And he says, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? You're going back to what you've been redeemed out of by going back to the ceremonies. This is about the gospel, beloved. This is important. This is about your souls. This is about eternity. Friends, we cannot and will not return to the copies and shadows of the feast days. The Jewish ceremonies are dead and buried. And today, so deadly to be used by us, the full declaration and putting into effect of the gospel of Jesus Christ has made the ceremonies and holy days of old come to nothing. And how much of Paul's writings and the letters address this? It's all over his letters. We will not be part of destroying Christian liberty that we have in Christ alone. Now Paul was dealing with what? He was dealing with the Jewish feast days. He's dealing with the ceremonial law. And yet it applies, what he's talking about applies now all the more to man-made, so-called Christian man-made feasts or days that we set apart as special. Because whereas at least the Jewish feasts are what? They're at least from God's Word. They're at least from God's Word and abrogated in Christ as a shadow. But how much more? How much more detestable than our man-made feasts today? How much more they burden the soul than those Jewish feasts after Christ's death and resurrection? Right? The false feast days of Christians were established by men only. But those of the Jews, the Old Testament ceremonial law, by God, they're established by God and then ended in Christ. And think of it this way. If the Lord, through the Apostle Paul in Galatians, Colossians, Romans, if Paul's condemning feast days and days instituted by God in the old ceremonial law, having been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross, and gives the Lord's Day then as part of your wonderful freedom you have in Christ, then how much more does He condemn the observing of days instituted by men? Right? Going from the greater to the lesser, right? If He's condemned the feast days fulfilled in Christ that were commanded by God, but now done away with in Christ because those things were a shadow, how much more does He condemn things made entirely by man? Now consider these things for the sake of your soul. Remember, this is a gospel. This has to do with the gospel and how important it is for our very souls. Turn your soul from observing and celebrating these days for the freedom and liberty of your conscience. Psalm 5 says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Put your ear closer to the Lord to hear Him. Come to worship and hear Him." Galatians 2, he says, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place to by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." This has to do with the gospel, the liberty we have. Now, did Titus, he's talking about circumcision there. The Jews were coming in, they were in the church, and they were saying, "Titus needs to be circumcised. Titus needs to be circumcised." That's the old ceremony, fulfilled in Christ, done away with in Christ. "Titus needs to be circumcised." No, Christ has been crucified, now exalted. Circumcision is done away with in Him. But the Jews in the church were coming, who were false, they're trying to abolish that freedom. That's what Paul says. They're trying to abolish that freedom that Titus has in Christ to remain uncircumcised. Paul's saying, we didn't even submit ourselves to them then. Even for a moment. Because what? The gospel was at stake. They could not betray true liberty of conscience. You cannot either. In other words, you cannot come to Jehovah and even before Him, bind your conscience with that which is itself in itself sinful. You cannot bind your conscience in worship with things that are contrary to the command of Scripture. That are not commanded in Scripture by doing those things that are, for example, not forbidden. The Lord alone, by His Word, binds the conscience. The Lord alone binds the conscience. He alone has a right to bind your conscience. And so you need to know this important aspect of liberty of conscience. There's another aspect of it. And this has to do with your elders of the government of the church. Those under shepherds which the Lord has set over you cannot require of you an implicit faith. They cannot require of you an implicit faith. You're not ever being called to believe whatever your elders call you to believe. The church does not dictate what one is to believe. Only the Lord dictates what must be believed by His Word alone. And so your elders should be men of the Word, preaching the Word, preaching from the Word, giving you rationale for all that we do from the Word. We don't do what we do because of history or because of tradition. We don't do what we do because of man or because I think it's right. We must only do that which is commanded and based upon God's word alone. And so you do not believe what is being taught, even now, just because I say it. It is not a blind faith that is required of you, but a knowledgeable one out from His Word. And that's why the Bereans are commanded to do what? What they did. They went back, and after hearing the preaching of the Word, they went and searched the Scriptures to make sure what they heard was true. Consider Isaiah 8. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. But the Lord also warns you not to have an absolute and blind obedience of men or people like your pastor. Right, Hosea 5:11. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. Whose commandment? They willingly walked after King Jeroboam's commandment and did not rather obey God. They rather obeyed man. They obeyed King Jeroboam against the very commandment of the Lord. When Jesus spoke of the Samaritan woman at the well, John 4, He said, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." They don't even know what they worship. They're binding their conscience. They're just worshiping. They're binding their consciences doing that. They're doing this by an absolute or blind obedience. But we worship what we know, and salvation is of the Jews. Now why? Why must it be in His Word? Why must we not obey man's commandment over God's? It's simple. Because to obey any other than the Lord's commandments is to destroy the freedom the Lord has given us in Christ. The days we celebrate, the holy days, the feast days that we celebrate all affect our lives in Christ. And the gospel is either upheld or and exalted in Christ, or it is blasphemed in Christ's name, shamed. The gospel's at stake. Your liberty, your freedom in Christ is at stake. And so again, the Lord's Day is the only day, the only holy day the Lord has given. All other man-made religious days must be utterly detested and destroyed, lest they ruin the Lord's Day, which He has graciously given for man's sake, and lest they bring shame upon Christ. We must put off and destroy all idolatry. And we can give then, in knowing that, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Jesus' righteous life and cursed death on the cross for our sakes. For those who come unto Him by faith, His yoke is easy. His yoke is easy. And so let us then honor Him with our lives and worship, for God alone is Lord of the conscience. Is He Lord of your conscience? And then you are called to come and celebrate the Lord's days, the Lord's Day, the Queen of all days, the market day of the soul, faithfully resting in the Lord and exalting in the Lord alone in Christ. And put off or cut off all the feast days, their traditions, the ceremonies, the days we have made special, which are religious in nature, but made by man, and yet that God has not commanded. Put them off. Our confession says the Lord alone is Lord of the conscience, and hath left it free from the doctrines and commandments of men which are in anything contrary to His Word or beside it in matters of faith or worship. And so put off the idolatries, put on Christ, and be free in Him. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful that it is clear. We're thankful that You teach us how You detest the celebration of man-made days and traditions and ceremonies, especially in Your worship, and how, Father, even in our faith and what we believe and how we worship You, it must be in accordance with Your Word alone, by Your command alone, that we would be free in Christ and not be slaves to men. And so set us free. In Christ your Son, we pray in his name. Amen.